Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Let's Cover It, brought to you by The Covering Church.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you once again for joining Let's Cover It. It is a great joy for me to be here with you today. My name is Dwayne Lee, one of your hosts, and along with me is Chris Dumford. Thank you, Chris, once again for being here. And matter of fact, we've probably got several under our belt now.
We do.
Yeah, and grateful that there are some people who are still watching. Hopefully, we'll get a little bit larger contingency of people.
I wonder if people have picked up that we cut several of these on the same night because our clothing never changes. You know?
Well, one of the things the production team hadn't done yet is got us a wardrobe.
Yeah. You know, so. Yeah, I think about those, watching all of those Family Feud episodes, and you watch them back to back, and yeah, and it looks like it's the next night, but you know it's an hour later because they're all still wearing the same
clothes. That's
so,
right.
Yeah, just to let our audience know, we do cut several of these at the same time. So,
sure.
So if you see us in the same wardrobe, we do own more than one shirt each.
We do. We do. And I hope I don't, the next time we record, that I'm wearing the same shirt.
Yeah. I did that, actually. You may notice that in two of our podcast sessions, I had the same black shirt on.
But with that said, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope these have been an encouragement, maybe even a little challenging for you, so that you can maybe get a little bit better understanding of where we're coming from, and maybe have a better understanding to see what the world perspective is like, and to understand that everything that we see on television is not necessarily true. So with that being said, as we finished our time together last time, we talked about remnant theology on probably a 201 level instead of a 101 level, and gave us a little bit better foundation or base of what remnant theology is, because there are people who have this, and if I can say it this way, distorted idea that if you talk about the church, that's mainly Gentiles, mm-hmm. and when you talk about Israel, that's mainly Jews. But when you talk about remnant theology, it is a combination of both.
That's correct.
Yeah. Because it doesn't make a difference of nationality, but it does make a difference of spirituality.
Yes.
And for those, regardless of Jew or Gentile, if they are a follower in Christ, then they are a part of the remnant that God has had throughout history and throughout the Bible. And so as we looked at that, it gave us a little bit better understanding of maybe who we are and how that we should look at things, and that we're not necessarily looking. Yes, we do look at Israel as a nation. We look at America as a nation. But if I could just simply say it this way, if things were going on in America like they're going on in Israel, then how would we respond to that?
Yes.
You know, and if I could take us back to 9/11, I think you could see that, that our nation changed, its whole complexity changed, because it was an attack on our nation, on our land. And regardless of whether it was believer or not, they wanted to stand together and put away those that were trying to oppose us or oppress us, and really, if I can say it, just get rid of us.
To destroy us, yes.
Yeah, to destroy us. And, of course, that didn't happen. And, of course, that's why we've had some war since then. But with that being said, as we look at Israel, we are firm believers in what Israel is doing. We stand with them, for them. And we applaud them in what they have done thus far. And I think we even mentioned in our last podcast some of the people who have been protesting regarding all of this and being pro-Palestinian than Israel, not really understanding the dynamics.
That's correct.
All of the dynamics that have been going on and just kind of sort of going along with the flow.
I think if we, just speaking on that level, if we were to take the average protester today, they're too young to remember 9/11.
True.
So they never lived through that.
Right.
They didn't see those towers come down. They didn't see the thousands of people in America that were killed.
Right.
My wife and I went to the 9/11 memorial in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. where the United flight came down.
Right.
And the panels they have there with each of the people that were on the plane, their bodies are still in the ground. Mm. That plane hit and went, I don't know, 50 feet in.
Yeah.
And they've just covered it up and they're still there. Mm. And you can't go there without being moved.
Sure.
And we went to the 9/11 memorial in New York. And it's amazing because New York is nothing but sound everywhere you go.
Right.
And especially when you're driving in. Now, I'm not going to offend New Yorkers, but I'm going to tell you, I've never been called so many expletives and given so many, vulgar signs in my life driving into a foreign country, it seemed like.
Yeah.
But when you get to the 9/11 memorial, you can hear a pin drop.
Hmm.
I mean, there is not a sound when you get there.
Wow.
And it's moving. Because the people that go there remember what that was like.
Right.
And there was a vengeance in our hearts as Americans. We have got to avenge this. Just like Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941.
Yeah.
You know.
And I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, you go there, you can hear a pin drop.
Right.
You know.
And so I think that you have to understand that if you love this country at all, you have to put yourself in the position of those families whose babies were burned alive in their cribs and their daughters and mothers who were taken away and raped repeatedly and killed, people that were beheaded in the streets and bodies dragged off from October 7th. And if you look at that raid alone, you have to say, this is incredible. And then our news media says, well, Israel's in the process of genocide. Mm. They don't know what genocide looks like.
No.
Because nobody's complaining about the Houthis and what they're doing, and nobody's complaining about what's going on in Haiti right now, and nobody's complained about the genocide of the Armenians and all the other genocide that's real genocide that's going on around the world.
Exactly.
And so genocide is a purposeful extermination of a people.
Right.
Israel knows what that's like. 6 million of them they attempted to exterminate in World War II.
Right.
But they're not doing a genocide. Israel's not over there with the purpose of destroying the Palestinian people. Their purpose is to eliminate Hamas.
That's right.
And so, you know, our news media relies on Al Jazeera, of all places, you know, a Muslim news agency to report the casualties. Right. And I just read an article a while back. The news media reports the casualties as thousands of women and children and a handful of men. That's exactly backwards of what the people on the ground are seeing.
Right.
When you look at the actual names of the people that have been killed and you collate it all, over 75%, almost 75%, are males of fighting age that have been killed.
Right.
And certainly women and children are going to get in the way, especially from a people who use them as human shields.
That's right.
And I'm very passionate about this,
mm-hmm.
because this is evil.
It is.
And to transport that evil to a nation who's doing nothing but defending themselves means that the very people that are protesting, number one, as we said last podcast, they don't know anything about the history.
Right.
And number two, they can't differentiate evil from good.
That's true. I think the Bible has something to say about that.
That's a fact.
You know, and so with all of that, don't want to run that rabbit trail.
Sorry, I'm passionate.
No.
I really am.
You keep the passion. So, but with that being said, one of the things that we wanted to discuss is as believers, as part of the remnant, and looking at the current state of affairs and how to respond to it. What does that look like? Two-parter. One, what does that look like for a believer in the Western world? And then two, really as a nation, how do we look at it?
That's a good question. So if we look at Israel as a nation, spiritually as a nation within a nation,
right?
Just as we look at America as a, in the past, the world has always referred to us as a Christian nation. Of course, when President Obama was president, he said, well, whatever we once were, we're no longer a Christian nation. That, I don't know. He meant that as a positive. I think I could see that as a real negative.
Right.
But the point is, if you take our country has not always done everything right.
Sure.
I think historically, we can look at the slavery issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of you are aware that when Thomas Jefferson wrote the first draft of the Declaration of Independence,
right.
In it, one of the charges he made against King George was the importation of slaves into the United States. And in essence, Thomas Jefferson wanted to, in the process of declaring independence, wanted, even though he owned slaves, okay, so there's this dichotomy. I own slaves, but I know it's evil.
Sure.
So he wanted to make slavery illegal. He wanted to do away with it with the Declaration of Independence. The problem was two of the colonies wouldn't ratify it without that being stricken. Right. So there's a marked difference between the first draft and the final draft of the Declaration. Mm-hmm. So it took 80 years for our country to solve the problem during the Civil War. At the loss of 1 million people died during the war.
Right.
And it took the blood of thousands of Union soldiers to fight to set right the wrongs mm-hmm. from the founding of the country. And so we can look at the American Indian issues and we can see that there has been a move to try to deal with that more in our modern age of how we deal with the American Indian because of, I mean, you can look at the Trail of Tears, you can look at the Battle of Wounded Knee, and you can say these were travesties in our country that needed to be made right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the Equal Rights Amendments, you can go down the list of things that have happened in America to try to make things different, better. Mm-hmm. Women's suffrage. You can look at our history as we have progressed as a nation. We have tried to correct the wrongs. And so you can be a Christian in America and recognize that America hasn't always done everything right.
Right.
But you can be a Christian and recognize the church hasn't done everything right.
True.
And so you can, if you transport that to Israel, does that mean Israel has done everything right?
No. They haven't.
No. I mean, that's why the Northern Kingdom was wiped out by the Assyrians and the Southern Kingdom was put into captivity. And ultimately you see this remnant concept that we talked about in the last podcast, even in the 130 Bar Kokhba rebellion of Israel against Rome. And in 130 AD, you have the Romans come in and they crucify thousands and thousands of Jews. Mm-hmm. And then they export many of the others out of the land and just, right. you know, disassemble Israel as a nation.
Right.
So Israel hasn't always done everything right. But does that mean as a Christian, we don't support them? It's no more than we support America, even though we recognize as a nation, it's not a perfect nation.
Right.
But I support Israel because it's the root of our Christianity.
Right.
Within the nation of Israel is that remnant that is the foundation of the church. Right. It's who we are. We are grafted into them. And if we're grafted into them, we have to support the nation within the nation.
And so with that said, how do we get that across? Because, you know, there are those in our American culture who says, why is America, still lending support to Israel? There are even some, quote-unquote, Christians who do not agree with what Israel is doing. So how do we battle that?
I think there's a broader picture.
Okay.
I think it was in 1980. I'm pulling this out of my head, so the dates may not be exactly right. But I think in the 1980s, Iran was becoming a major power. The Shah of Iran had been mm-hmm. removed, and the Ayatollah had become in power. Iran began to export terrorism all over the world, and it began to affect the Middle East itself. So countries such as Saudi Arabia, who have never identified Israel as a state,
right.
yet they have united with Israel and formed sort of a military axis in the Middle East of several, I think the United Arab Emirates is part of it, Saudi Arabia is part of it, Egypt's part of it, that they have formed this military agreement to try to rein in and stop Iran, because even the Middle Eastern countries that are over there that are westernized, like Egypt and United Arab Emirates, mm-hmm. they recognize the threat of Iran in the area. So if we look at it strictly from a secular viewpoint, the first reason we would support Israel is they are a westernized nation planted in the middle of the Middle East, mm-hmm. who provide a base of operations for us to try to rein in the power of a nation that wants to wipe out the world, in essence. They're developing a nuclear capability that they want to use against the United States and against Israel and against the Middle East and any nation that supports Israel.
Right.
And so I think from a strategic military perspective, our first goal as a nation is to support them because they are our beachhead, if you would, in the middle of this world that wants to tear itself apart and the rest of the world with it. I think then I think that for the secular world, just to say that, this is a reason why.
That would, yeah.
But I think beyond that, on a spiritual level, as a church, as Christians, I should say,
mm-hmm.
We need to look at Romans 9, 10, and 11 and read it and recognize what Paul says. He says that I wish that all Israel would be saved. He hadn't given up on the nation of Israel, even though he teaches this concept of the unbelieving Israel being broken off and mm-hmm. and Gentiles being grafted in. It's clear in Romans 9, 10, 11, Paul hadn't given up on that nation.
No.
And neither should we.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to take Paul the Apostle as my example of a church, really the greatest first early church father, I think that I would have to take what he says, that I would wish myself accursed on behalf of Israel, that they all might be saved.
That's right.
And that's probably where we need to start. It's a pretty simple place to start is the church.
Right. It's interesting. You read those first couple of verses in chapter 9 and you go, amen, Paul. But then as you get further on, you begin to go, oh, wait a minute. I see what he's talking about, but it goes deeper than that.
Yes.
So, so with that being said, let's try to tie a bow on this if we can in this segment, because we've kind of sort of gotten to a place with remnant theology. For those who can't grab the concept of remnant theology, what would you say to that person?
I would say that I think you and I both probably 30 years ago, we both had a somewhat of a crisis of faith, if you will, when it came to what we believed. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
And our friend, Rick, who is now gone unto glory,
mm-hmm.
and God has to deal with Rick now. We had to deal with it for years.
Yeah.
I think he challenged us in a great degree to go back and do something that I had never done in my Christian life. And that was, I was raised in a very conservative Baptist church.
Mm-hmm.
And in that Baptist church conservative world, mm-hmm. where women didn't wear pants and I didn't go out running without a shirt on, or I didn't wear shorts and I didn't have a TV, you know, because it was evil, and we didn't go to movies, and you can go down the list, right?
Right.
And so that's all I knew. And so I was firmly convinced that was my biblical view. It was staunch and I wasn't going to change. But Rick said, no, we have to go back and not deconstruct, but take our faith and start using the Bible. Unlike a deconstructionist, we use the Bible as our final authority in all
that's
things.
Right.
Open the Bible up. It's our final authority. Now let's ask some questions. Is what I've been taught
true,
or am I just taking my pastor's word for it?
Right. Or anybody else's for that matter.
Correct. So I started looking at Romans 9, 10, and 11. And we had our friend Wes that we used to,
right.
You remember him and I would go toe to toe and
and a few others.
With the blackboard, yes. You know, yeah. We would do all the things with a blackboard.
Yeah.
And Wes would always say, this is a Calvinist concept, and he's talking about individuals. But Paul's not talking about individuals.
No, he's talking about...
He's talking about a nation.
Yeah.
And so this is not God's election of individuals. This is God's election of a group of people,
mm-hmm.
in Romans 9, 10, 11. When you see that and it opens it up, you can read it and realize what Paul's saying.
Yeah.
That...
Yeah.
That not all Israel is Israel. That's the foundation where he builds everything.
Right.
That not all Israel is Israel. And then he says, but there is a remnant according to election that still stands. That there is this believers. Paul was one of those because right. He was a Jew of the Jews, he says,
right.
Of the tribe of Benjamin. Mm-hmm. And he says, but I want you to understand. And then he quotes the book of Hosea when God said, a people who are not my people shall be my people. And a people without mercy shall have mercy. Paul says God was talking about the Gentiles.
Right.
And then he talks about how the natural branches, because of a lack of faith, were broken off.
Right.
And that the the wild branches, the Gentiles, were grafted in. Now, once I saw that, I realized, wait a minute, now I know everything that Paul's saying when he says there's no more Jew nor Greek.
Right.
And then I go back and I can look at the principles in the Old Testament where Rahab was brought into Israel,
mm-hmm.
where Ruth was a Moabitess.
Right.
And she is the, you know, the grandmother of David.
David, right.
Right. And yeah. she's in the direct lineage of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
As you look at the lineage of Joseph through David.
Through David, yeah, now, Matthew.
You know, Joseph should have been the king.
Right.
But he wasn't. But when you look at his lineage through Matthew, you see that his great 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 grandmother, you know, 1428, what is it? 42 generations back.
Right.
He says is his grandmother, right?
Right.
His great, great, great 14 generation back grandmother.
Right.
And so when you look at that view, even then God was showing us this concept that I'm breaking off some and I'm bringing in others outside the fold to be a part of it all. And I think that's critical to understand that as a church, if we know our foundation,
mm-hmm.
then we can then set our view properly in a proper worldview, even when it comes to the geopolitical military aspect of the world.
That is true. And so, although it's not necessarily, I would say, either a popular maybe popular is not the right word, but it's a prominent view. It certainly is a biblical view. And yes, it does take time to sit down, to look at it, to massage it, and to go, yeah, we're not talking about individuals here, but we're talking about a people within a people.
Yes.
And as we continue to do that, I believe it helps us. And like you said, regardless of who we might be nationally, we understand who we are spiritually, and that we... more or less, we need to take it from that perspective more so than anything else. So
I mean, when you get to, I want to just say this, when you get to the book of Galatians, and you look at chapter 3.
Yeah.
He says that, he talks about the end of the chapter. He says,
and this is Paul.
Yeah, Paul's writing the book of Galatians. He says this, yeah. But after this faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. That's the law.
Right.
He says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, is he just talking about Gentiles?
No.
No, he's not, because he says this, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ, then he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek.
Right.
That is, there's no demarcation line in Paul's theology between the church and Israel.
Right.
When he says that, there is no demarcation line anymore.
And there were several churches in Galatia that he was writing to.
That's correct.
Because in chapter 1, it wasn't just one church, it was several.
Galatia was a former Greek province, and so exactly. They're all Gentiles he's writing to. And so when he says there's neither Jew nor Greek, you know, the Jews thought that the Greeks were dogs. Okay,
right.
So let's go back to the book of Acts chapter 10,
mm-hmm.
because you have Cornelius.
Right.
Who was a Roman?
It was a Roman. Okay. Who was a Gentile?
Correct.
Yeah.
But he was also one of the first families of Rome. I don't know if you're aware, but the word Cornelius, the name Cornelius, was a family name of Rome. Mm-hmm. It goes all the way back to Scipio Africanus, who saved Rome from the Carthaginians. His name was actually Scipio Africanus Cornelius.
Okay.
So he is probably in the Italian cohorts that were raised by Augustus to replace the legions that were destroyed in the Teutonwald Forest. Massacre. So he raises these Italian cohorts, these volunteers from the finest families of Rome. Cornelius was a centurion in one of these Italian cohorts. And so if you look at it from a Jewish perspective, they hated the Rome. They hated Gentiles to start with, and they really hated Roman Gentiles.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
So here's Peter. God brings down this big tarp full of unclean animals.
Right.
I think Peter's first time he ever had bacon.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
right.
You know, bacon cures everything.
That's right.
Right. So he brings down. this. I've got that shirt that says "Bass is the bacon of music" because I play bass. I wear it to church. But he brings down his tarp with all these unclean animals.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And what's Peter's reaction?
He said, "I'm not going to touch it."
Yeah, I don't. I've never eaten in my life. He thinks God's trying to test him, but God's trying to teach him a lesson.
Right.
And what was the lesson he was trying to teach him?
That. that Jews and Gentiles are one.
Yes, that they can be clean and be part of it.
Right.
And so he says, I want you to eat it. And he does.
Right.
And then he says, now that you've gotten the picture,
right,
you're to send some people to Caesarea,
right,
and knock on this guy's door named Cornelius and bring him to you.
Right.
So what do you think Peter thinks when this Roman soldier shows up in all of his armor, you know, his centurion, he's got all of his torques on his arms, and he's mm-hmm. got all these phalera hanging on his chest, you know, battle honors, and some of those are from killing Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes walking into Peter's house.
Yeah.
I mean, you could imagine if we went back to when we were kids and they brought a communist general into your house, how would you react? Not well, right? But Peter wins him to the Lord, and he becomes part of the church.
He does.
And for me, that whole element of the book of Acts right there is the precursor to what Paul teaches in the book of Romans and Galatians.
Exactly. So with that being said, let's try to wrap this up, okay? And as we started talking about Israel and all that, we've kind of gone in a couple of different directions, but it's been needed. It's been helpful, because one of the things that we wanted to do is not just talk about the position of the current state of Israel and all the warring that's been going on, but try to get some background and some understanding of what that means. Because like I said before in one of the other podcasts, is the why. I've never from a biblical perspective, I've never heard somebody give me an answer on the why. Why are we doing this? So, but we've tried to do that. And so I would encourage you to continue to look, to continue to pray, to continue to search. And from a biblical perspective, as you make answer to other people who may ask you questions, make sure that it is from a biblical perspective and not necessarily just your own opinion. Because I got to be honest with Chris, myself, or even you, opinions don't matter, but truth does. And that's what we're trying to share with you today. So, with that being said, any last words from you, my
no,
friend?
No, I think we can cover anything in the next podcast.
Well, that's, probably so.
Yeah.
Probably so. So thank you so much for paying attention. Thank you so much for listening. I know that's probably a lot to digest, but one of the great things about the podcast is that you can go back and listen to it over and over. And I'm so grateful for our team who believes in this so much and takes time every time that we get together to do these podcasts to make it happen, not just on the front end, but the back end as well. So with that being said, may God bless you, enrich you, give you everything you need. But until then, we'll continue to pray for you as you pray for us. So God bless you. Until next time.
Thanks again for joining us. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Let's Cover It podcast, brought to you by The Covering Church.